section of what's called the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus gives us some pretty impressive visual images of what it means to be a follower of Christ. Specifically, he talks about salt and light. If any of you have had a particularly bland dinner, you appreciate how good salt tastes. Particularly if you enjoy cooking light. We enjoy cooking in our household. My wife is a fantastic cook. And we do enjoy a number of recipes from the magazine called Cooking Light. But it's just sort of standard operating procedure. We sort of double the amount of salt in the recipe. Because otherwise you're just like, pretty full of salt. So what happens if you pour the salt on your food and there's no salt flavor to it? Well, that was a waste of time. Get rid of the salt, right? Because there's no way to reinfuse saltiness into the flavor, right? That's sort of the point that Jesus is making. So what does it mean for you and me to be declared as salt? Salt of the earth. When was the last time you got compared to a table condiment and considered it a compliment? Well, likewise, what Jesus is getting at, he builds on this idea. I can't answer that just yet. He builds on that metaphor, that teaching image. He then just carries right on. He doesn't explain what that means. He just plows right ahead. He says, you are the light of the world. The light is not lit and then hid under a basket and put it up on a stand so that it can do what it's supposed to do, which is to give light to the whole household, right? So that leads me to ask the question then, whose light is it anyway? Remember the TV show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? Whose light is it anyway? Because he'll go on to say, therefore let your light so shine before all that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So there seems to be this continuum, this connection between salt and light and glory to God. With me so far? Okay. So how do we get from salt and light to giving glory to God? Well, I want to begin to answer and explore that question by talking a little bit about a farmer. So there's a story that goes that there's a farmer who gets some land, and the local preacher comes up and is talking to him and says, "Well, this is great. Look what God has given you." And the farmer says, "Well, yeah, I just bought this land. So, thank you." So the farmer then said, the preacher raised the farmer, goes, they start pulling all the stones out of the fields, make a whole wall out of it, like you have to do. And so a little while later, the preacher comes back out, and he says, look at this. This is beautiful fields you've got here. Look what God's given you. And the farmer says, well, yeah, but I cleared all the stones out myself. Thank you. And then he proceeds to sow the seed, and he raises the crop, and harvests the field, and again, the preacher comes out and says, look at what God has given you. And the farmer says, you know, preacher, you're talking an awful lot about what God's doing here. He said, well, you should have seen this place when he had it all to himself. So what's the idea there? You know, I don't want to tell jokes. That's a story. That's a joke. Is that there's this idea that our hard work bears results, right? It was me that bought the land. It was me that pulled the stones out of the field. It was me that, by the sweat of my back, put the seeds in the ground. And I'm the one who got the harvester in the side and pulled it all up and got it ready so that I can have food and earn a livelihood. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is it about the things that we do? Hard work, sometimes really hard work. How does God fit into that? Right? And so the question that we ask ourselves as we read a verse like, "Let your light so shine before all, that they may see your good works and people, gosh, that must be all about me. After all, look at everything that I've done here and how successful I am." And so, if we're going to really get at what Jesus is talking about in this verse, about letting our light so shine, we have to, whose light is it anyway? You know, we live in a day and age where we're saturated with ideas of self-help, right? And you've probably heard around about the idea that where does the true power lie in your life? Within you, right? Where does all the reality, the truth, the light, where does it reside? I mean, you hear all the time, it's within you. And if you've never heard that message before, then you've never watched a single television show, film, commercial, or anything else for the last 20 years. Because everywhere you look, that's the narrative that we're given. That the true power, the true light, resides within yourself. You might not know it yet, but it's there. And so what you have to do is first recognize that that's the case. It isn't me after all. And then secondly, follow some technique to unlock it, right? To obtain your full potential. Is this ringing any bells? Or am I just sort of talking to the wind? The farmer, you know, out in the field, like, well, look at all this, nobody's listening. So, do you hear that message? Because I got it too. I hear it every day, all the time. The truth, the light, the power is in you. You just have to acknowledge that and then find it. And so, if that's the framework that we the narrative that we have built in our minds, and we read a passage like this in the Gospel of Matthew, and we say, well, who's Jesus talking about? Let your light so shine. Well, he's talking about me. Isn't it convenient how everything is all about me? That was a joke. Doesn't it? It sounds really wise and cool. Christian gospel doesn't paint that picture. The Christian gospel says it's not about which wolf you feed, it's that something's got to die and then be raised again on the third day in order for there to be light and truth and power. You see, because at the end of the day, it's not about you and me. It's not about what we can or can't unlock. It's actually about God. About who God is and what God has done. You see, because the end of Jesus' teaching is what? Let light shine so that people may see good works and do what? And give glory to the Father. See, that's the part that we often miss, or it sort of stops short. That what this is all about is ultimately directing us and those around us to God. And so here's what the gospel tells us. While we might not have light and truth and power within ourselves innately, the gospel says that Christ gives his light to us. And his life for and to us. So that when Jesus says, let your light so shine, whose light is he really talking about in view of the whole narrative of Scripture? He's actually talking about the light that he gives to you and me. His light, his truth, his power, apart from which we really have. And so it's extremely important as we begin to wrap our minds around what Jesus is talking about in terms of being salt and being light, that we understand whose is it anyway? It's his. Well, what do I have to do to unlock Jesus' power? Getting back into this with this mechanistic voice, it's not about unlocking, it's about grace and receiving. It's a huge difference. Huge difference. So what does all this mean for the things that we are to do? How do we then let our light so shine? Because God, Jesus says what's supposed to happen. Okay, so this is light, his power, his strength that resides in us by his grace. Well, then what? Well, one of the things that gets transformed, I believe, through the gospel is our understanding of our labor, our work. And we can tell ourselves, well, gosh, I took everything going back to our farmer, right? I bought that field. How'd you get the money? I cleared the stones with my own two hands. That's right, you have hands. I sowed seeds in the field. Where'd you get the seeds? I harvested the field. Who made it grow? Did you pay for the rain? The sunshine? One of the things that little story of a farmer does get at is the burden of human toil. What are we told in Genesis? God says to Adam after he rebelled against him that it is now by the sweat of your brow and the toil of your hands that you will provide for yourself. And the ground will produce thistles and thorns. It's going to fight you. It used to be everything was free and easy. I'll give it to you. Now you're going to have to work for it. And so there's this sense where the farmer's mindset and story is a ringing affirmation of the fall. I had to pull those stones out of that field. I had to work and do all this stuff. And at the end of the day, I don't say, oh my gosh, the world's not how it should be. Instead, we get to the end of it and have ourselves on the back. And so, how does the gospel change all? How does the work of Christ time, but that others have also made it to God's glory. So work hard. Let that light so shine. But the change that happens is that what I do when I clock in the morning, when I work hard by the sweat of my brow, it's actually the glory of God. The question is, do the people around you know that? Gosh, Ben, you're on time so much and you work so hard. So that others may know that you are actually giving glory to God? Is there a witness in your labors? Because that's exactly what Jesus is getting at. And so, some of us think that in order to give glory to God in your work, you've got to do one of these. Right? That's not true. John Calvin once famously said, if your vocation and your work in life is to be a mother, he said, then change diapers to the glory of God. In other words, don't think for a moment that that vocation is demeaning. Glorify God with it. If your work is calling to be a farmer, then plow that field to the glory of God. If your work is to be a banker, charge those interest rates to the glory of God. Let me marry someone. If anybody needs a banker, I'm not trying to. So when we come to understanding letting our light shine through the things that we do, we start with the gospel and what Christ has given to us. And then we have to see how it changes the way we look at the things that we do day in and day out. I go to work. And then also what it does to us. Are you grateful? Because you begin to see that, wow, I've got a job. And yes, I had to apply and I had to go to the interview process, but yeah, I got it. So shine. The idea here is that when we come to receive what God has given us, it changes the way we think about things. And it produces within us this desire to be grateful and this desire to be free, to work hard, to serve, and to be generous. And so we're going to be talking over the next couple of weeks about what it means as Christians to be able to look at our work, to look at our lives, look at our money, even through the lens of the gospel, and what that means in terms of calling us into deeper relationship with Christ, a deeper relationship with one another, and how that does influence and impact the way we look at our resources and yes, even our money. And so we'll be talking.